Welcome back here with Billings Last Diet. I'm Dr. Jordan, and with Dr. Williams, we're going to talk about five major myths that are common when we're talking about weight loss, right? And so we're going to try and debunk those for you and get a little bit more information, try and educate what healthy weight loss actually looks like and why it's important to be educated while you're losing weight.
Sounds great.
Yeah. So just a little introduction, we're with Billings Last Diet, right? And how long have we been around Billings Last Diet?
We're 15 years now.
15
with Billings Last Diet.
Yeah. So in the 15 years, Dr. Williams, what have you learned about weight loss?
There's a lot of misconceptions about weight loss that a lot of people have some ideas of how weight loss works, and then they have a lot of misperceptions about weight loss. And so a lot of people will try to implement what they think is right, and they don't get the right results. So I think it's important for us to talk about some of those misperceptions or those myths about weight loss.
So in 15 years, I'm a little younger than you, so I might not remember all these fads, but what fad diets have you seen in those 15 years that have come and gone that people maybe, you know, they think back and said, oh, that really worked for me, but it wasn't the best option for them. Are there any that come to mind?
Oh, there are lots of them. There was the onion soup diet. There's been the peanut butter diet. There's been just a whole bunch that were not based on science. The problem is, in my view, the American government, the United States government also got involved in the fad source, and they came out with, and this is myth number one, and myth number one is that all carbs are created equal.
Right.
And so what happened was in the early 90s, it actually was introduced in 1992, they introduced the food pyramid. And it was actually developed in Sweden in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And then in 1992, the United States government said, let's adopt this and introduce it to people to teach people to eat right.
So real quick, let's review the food pyramid in case some of the listeners don't quite remember what the food pyramid looks like. So walk me through it.
So the food pyramid is a pyramid. At the base was carbohydrates. Mm-hmm. In the middle portion were proteins, and the top was fats.
And so that means that we should eat a base or more carbohydrates than proteins, and then the small triangle on top, fats. Okay.
And they did it according to how you should portion your foods.
Okay.
You should be eating a majority of carbohydrates with some protein and a little bit of fat. And so the food pyramid was pushed very heavily, marketed very, very heavily, particularly to the young people.
Oh, I remember.
Yes, because this is about your time That's frame right. of growing up. And it was supposed to help people become healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you look at how healthy people were in the 70s and 80s versus how healthy people are today, 2000s, a significant difference.
Yeah.
We have one-third of our population is either pre-diabetic or diabetic. We have obesity in epidemic portions as well as being overweight.
And one thing is you'll notice in the literature, what that's classified as is the standard American diet, which I think's just hilarious
ironic.
And ironic that it's sad. And it's a sad diet that's got
the acronym of SAD,
that's
Standard
right.
American Diet.
And where are we at today with the sad diet?
Yeah, it just has proven to be the downfall of the health of us as a nation. Because if you look at the chronic diseases, the top killers in the United States, one common factor is poor nutrition, which has led to obesity or overweight.
Yeah.
And it's been sad.
So what was the problem with there's no problem with trying to educate the public. And I think on a base level, that's probably what the government was trying to do. But the problem with the food pyramid is it wasn't based, or still isn't, it isn't based in science.
Yeah.
Right? So eating a base of carbohydrates, why didn't that work?
Well, the reason it didn't work is because they developed the food pyramid according to which foods were available and cheap at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so wheat was very available and very prominent during the 70s and 80s. And so in the 90s, they said, let's tell the people to eat breads and pastas as their primary source of energy. And so that's the carbohydrate portion.
Mm-hmm.
And as we've led to eating all these processed carbohydrates, the body doesn't respond well to it, and which has led to overuse of the pancreas and causes diabetes as well as gaining weight.
Well, and now not just pastas and breads have carbohydrates, right? We have carbohydrates in vegetables and fruit, sugar. So what's the difference? Why are some good, some bad? Why should we be eating more vegetables and less pastas?
So Now, I wouldn't necessarily say good or bad, but some are better than others, for sure.
Sure.
And so that was the big problem with using the food pyramid. It was hard to educate people that not all carbohydrates are created equal. There is a cauliflower is a carbohydrate, and so is candy.
Right.
But there's quite a bit of difference between candy and carbohydrate, both in nutrition as well as in
satisfaction.
Satisfaction, yes, taste will always give you, but how it reacts in the body.
Okay.
And that was the biggest downfall to the food pyramid was not distinguishing between fats and carbohydrates and saying they're all created equal. So it was a big problem for the food pyramid.
Not distinguishing between like simple carbohydrates
and complex,
right.
So a simple carbohydrate is a carbohydrate that's been highly processed. Mm-hmm. And so it processes very quickly in the body.
Right.
So how fast a carbohydrate turns to sugar, glucose, is glycemic response. And when you eat a piece of white bread or a piece of candy, it turns into sugar very fast.
Right.
Where when you eat carbohydrate or a cauliflower or a cucumber, then it's going to take a lot of time in order to release that glucose.
Right.
And so that causes a different physiological response in the body, which has to do with the insulin, which is the hormones that regulate energy sources.
Energy sources. Well, so it's easy to say the food pyramid didn't make any sense.
No.
They didn't differentiate between types of carbohydrates. And that's one of the big myths is that all carbohydrates are created equal. So we can easily say that's debunked.
Yep.
They are not the same.
Yep.
Right.
And the food pyramid was finally fessed up to be a failure. And they changed it, turned it into the plate. Mm-hmm. The My Plate is way more accurate. There's still food lobbying that goes on in the plate, just like it was heavy food lobbying in the food pyramid. It's more science-based than the food pyramid was.
Right. Good. Well, it kind of talks a little bit more, since we're talking about macros, that's what those macros are, basically what all foods are made of. So there's three major macros, right? You have your carbs or carbohydrates, your proteins, and your fats.
Yeah.
And you talked about the 1970s a little bit. There was a little bit of a fad in the 70s, 60s and 70s about fat-free and synthetic fats.
Yep.
And so we learned pretty quickly that fat-free maybe wasn't the best option, right?
Right.
But that's still a myth that you hear today that you eat egg whites only because there's no fat there try and get the reduced fat or fat-free because it's going to be healthier for you. What's wrong with that?
Okay, not to throw the government under the bus, but I'm going to throw the government under the bus again. So there was a big push for fat-free, and it actually started with the American Heart Association in conjunction with the government, and they said, fats cause cardiovascular disease. That was the myth. And so then it developed, and this was even back into the 50s. And then in the 60s and the 70s, they said, okay, how can we reduce cardiovascular disease? And the best way to do that is to reduce fat from foods.
Right.
And so they started pulling the fat out of foods. Well, the problem with pulling fat out of the foods is nobody will eat it because it doesn't taste good.
It doesn't taste very good.
And so in order to make it taste better, they added sugar.
Yeah.
Well, when you add sugar and you pull out the fat.
Or a simple carbohydrate.
Or a simple carbohydrate, right, which feeds into the food pyramid, right. Then it causes a different physiological response again. So during the 50s, 60s, 70s, they said fat is the enemy.
Right.
And we can get people healthy if we pull fat out of foods. And that is simply not the case. Again, not all fats are created equal.
Right.
And they came up with this wonderful idea that since saturated fats and polysaturated and unsaturated fats are bad, let's replace those with something called trans fats.
Right, which is neither one or the other, right?
That's right. It's a man-made fat. And so they made margarine, and it was stable, had a long shelf life, and they said margarine is healthy, better for you than fats than butter.
Right.
Because butter is going to cause you to have cardiovascular disease. Well, we now know that's a complete myth.
Right.
It is not true.
So what's the role of fats in health? Now, you talk about the nervous system quite a bit as a healthcare provider. So why are fats so crucial for your body?
Fats and cholesterols.
And cholesterol,
so, we now know not all cholesterol is created equal too. So fats and cholesterols are essential for health. So the nervous system is primarily fat. Your brain, your nerves, there's a myelin sheath that surrounds your nerves that protect your nerves. So it's like the insulation, and that's fat-based. And So we have to have fats, essential fats.
Right.
And so the push with the fats aren't good for you led to fat free. Mm-hmm. And during the 80s, fat free was a big thing. We could have, you could go buy a bag of licorice, of red vine licorice, and stamped right on the label was fat free, which translated to health food.
This won't make me fat.
That's correct. And the truth be known, it did. It was worse than if it was loaded with fat.
That's right.
So one more thing on fat. The reason we don't want to avoid fat is fat has, it makes you feel full faster. It's called satiety, how fast you feel full. And so when you eat fat, it makes you feel fuller. Mm-hmm. When you eat simple carbs, sugar, you can eat a lot because you never feel the sensation of being full.
I've experienced that before. I've had a big dinner at a restaurant.
Uh-huh.
I feel just, I can't have another bite. And then the waiter walks by and says, do you want dessert?
Yes.
And all of a sudden my brain says, yeah, I think I could fit a little bit more. Those carbs just don't, just, you know, they kind of trick you a little bit to think you're full. And then all of a sudden, yeah, I could fit a little bit more, yep. Right?
And so you wouldn't have necessarily had another piece of steak.
Right.
Because you were too full.
Right.
But you're not going to get the full sensation by having the chocolate cake.
Because when you mix a fat with a simple carbohydrate, that's called
yummy.
Delicious,
yeah, that's,
right?
That's the way exactly. That works. That's what chocolate cake is.
That's right. And so you can get the fats are going to make it taste better, and the carbs are going to make your brain not feel as full. So you're going to continue to eat more of them, which is another trick that food industry is going to employ to try and get you to eat more food and buy more food.
Yep. Another thing that they did to vilify fats is they said fats will make you fat.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason, and there's some truth to that, because when you eat 1 gram of a fat, you get 9 calories.
Right.
When you eat 1 gram of a carbohydrate or 1 gram of a protein, you only get 4 calories. So they said if we cut fat out, it'll give us a decreased caloric intake.
Calories,
so it's going to help us to not be fat as a people. We're not going to gain weight.
Right.
And so
we're going to reduce calories.
That's
somehow,
again,
right?
Why the fat free became a healthy thing. So we need to understand that fats are essential, and that's why we call them essential fats.
Right.
We have to have some fats, but we have to be careful with fats as well because they do have a higher caloric intake. And so if you get too many calories, you're going to...
So let's talk about that now, talking specifically about weight loss. We'll kind of move to that next myth, which when people are losing weight, sometimes, you know, I feel pretty good, but I just have a little bit of belly fat or a little bit of fat around my legs I don't like or you know, you've heard everything. I just want to lose a little bit under here, right?
Yeah.
So there's this idea that if you eat certain foods or do certain, you know, eat certain times a day, you can target those areas of fat.
Yeah.
Walk me through that. How does that work?
Another fun one is you can target fat by specific exercises as well. I can make my fat go away around my waist if I do abdominal workout.
Right.
Well, that's not true. When the body is utilizing fat as a source of energy, it doesn't say, because they're doing an abdominal workout, we're going to take the fat from around the stomach and make that the energy source.
Let me just debunk this completely. The body is very lazy.
Yes.
It is going to take the first available resource of energy.
Yes.
So the body does not say, oh, well, since you're moving your abs a lot, clearly we want the fat from the abs to be removed. That's not how the body works. The body's going to say, I need energy. What's the easiest and quickest energy I can get?
Yeah.
If there's a simple carbohydrate in my stomach, I'm going to use that first. If there's not that, you're going to move to the next gas tank of energy until you're using that fat as a main source of energy. But anyway, so targeting specific areas.
So you can't say I'm going to take a weight loss program that's going to take the fat off of my abdomen.
Mm-hmm.
That does not work. You can't diet a certain way to make the fat come off a certain area.
So then why do some people have more fat in certain areas while others, you know, gain it in their feet, right?
So there's different body types, and people are going to have a tendency to store fat where their body type tends to store fat. So you've heard of the apple shape or the pear shape or the pencil shape. So You can't control that. What you can control is how big is the apple, how big right. is the pear.
and you know, we've seen this. So with Billings Last Diet, we've helped thousands of people lose substantial amounts of weight.
Yeah.
If you visit us at our in our brick and mortar building, and we'll have some pictures posted online as well, you'll see pictures of people who've lost 80, 100, 130, 150 pounds. And it's interesting, you'll see they're a certain shape here. Yeah. They lost over 100 pounds and they still have the same shape.
Yep.
It's just much smaller. And, you know, that was something that was new for me, right. Debunked since I've been with Billings Last Diet the last 3 years, is seeing that people's shape is more genetic based than actual
yeah.
habit based.
So some people will have a tendency to carry their extra weight that mm-hmm. they get, their stored, their future weight,
right.
or their future energy around their hips or their thighs, some more on the upper body and some more in the abdominal area. Mm-hmm. And so you just can't target where that's at. Another thing that's interesting when you see the Wall of Fame, we call it,
right.
It's funny to see how somebody might lose a significant amount of weight, 50 or 60 pounds, and it doesn't look a whole lot different. It does look different, but somebody might lose 20 pounds and it looks like they've lost a whole bunch.
Right.
And so looks make a difference, but what we really want is, how does that affect your health?
It's the health that's key, because and this is one myth that we weren't planning on talking about today, but I want to bring up. There is no ideal weight.
Yeah.
There is ideal health. And right. most people get confused and say, well, I'm 5'4", in my 40s, female, and, you know, what's my ideal weight? And they'll do the quizzes online and all that stuff. And the problem with that is your weight should be very personal
yeah.
to your body. And
to your age.
And to your age and to your activity level and your circumstances. And so when you're looking for a generic ideal weight, you're not going to find it.
Right.
And that's one problem people have is, well, you know, I look good. Or I feel pretty good. I feel healthy. I'm active. I'm able to do everything I need to, but I don't look like so-and-so on Instagram.
Yeah.
Right. And that's a big problem, is that the ideal weight myth is completely false.
Right.
You have to know what's ideal for you, not for your demographic. Right.
I agree.
So we talked a little bit about the next myth is talking about exercise. And you had mentioned exercise in the abdomen.
Yep.
And a lot of people, you know, January 1st comes around and they say, well, I need to lose weight. So I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to change my eating habits. And then what happens?
Yeah. So exercise and weight loss, does it work? The answer is yes.
Okay.
If you increase the amount of calories you're burning in the course of a day through exercise and it puts you in a caloric deficit, you're going to lose weight.
Right.
The problem is this January group that's going to come up, that's going to hit the gym on January 1st. Mm-hmm. And for the first, this is my experience that I've seen is with a lot of dieters and a lot of people, is they'll watch what they eat for the first 2 weeks mm-hmm. in the course of being careful on what they eat and working out regularly.
Output, yeah.
Then they lose weight, which is great. After those first 2 weeks, they continue working out at the gym and they say things like, in their mind, they'll say, well, I'm working out every day anyway, and so I can have the donut. Mm-hmm. I can have the cheeseburger. I can have. And so they stop watching what they eat. And what happens is they continue to work out. But what happens to their weight loss? It slows down and eventually stabilizes.
Right.
So about week 2 or week 3, they say, oh, I'm not getting the results I got, because they're not watching what they eat, but they're still working out. So they'll continue through the month of January. The really persistent ones will continue through February, and some will even go into March, and having stabilized their weight loss, not losing any more, and they say, so this doesn't work.
Right.
And the answer is, it does work. So can you outrun your fork? Can you out-exercise your fork? The answer is no. Your right. fork is going to win every time.
Well, and it's pretty easy to see as well. You think of 500 calories. What's that? An extra piece of cheesecake with dinner?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm just going to overestimate about 500 calories.
Yeah.
How long is it going to take me to burn those 500 calories running on the treadmill?
Yeah, a lot longer than you think it does. And so we have dinner tonight, and we have cheesecake. Mm-hmm. We have a piece of cheesecake for dinner, and depending on your cheesecake and what you put on
it
top, how big it is, might be 1,200 calories.
Right.
And so you have that piece of cheesecake, and you say, well, since we had the cheesecake afterward, let's go for a walk after dinner, and mm-hmm. we're going to walk off that piece of cheesecake. Well, if that cheesecake was 500 calories, how long do you think you would have to walk in order to walk off 500 calories?
I'd have to do some math in my head.
An hour? 2 hours? Right. Nah. You're closer to 4 or 5 hours in order to walk off a piece of cheesecake.
Yeah.
So just for an example, I'm a runner. That's what I do for sanity purposes. So when I put my treadmill at a 7.5 for speed, which isn't a walk, it's not a jog, it's a run, and I run for 30 minutes, my calories expended or used during my workout are calculated on my treadmill, and I burn about 500 calories.
Yeah. So
that means after eating a piece of cheesecake, I'm going to have to go run on the treadmill for 30 minutes at a 7.5 in order to burn 500 calorie piece of cheesecake.
Just to get back to not to burn extra calories.
That's
just for that piece of cheesecake. So can you outrun your fork, or can you exercise for weight loss? The answer is a little bit mixed. Yes, you can. But it just doesn't work the way you think it should work.
Right.
And that's one common myth. I like to say it's because we've watched too many Rocky movies here in America. You know, you watch on a movie, someone go from a zero to a hero in a 3-minute montage, and you think, well, I can do that. Same thing, you'll see social media, you know, the young wimpy kid, real small, he'll go through his whole transition, or the big heavy person who goes through their whole transition. You got to realize that transition is over years.
Yeah.
And they don't talk about their diet in that weight, in that journey as well. And I guarantee there were changes that they made to the diet as well as the exercise.
So for listeners, just to give you a sense of what exercise and weight loss, how it works, let's take two people. One person's 150 pounds and one person's 200 pounds. Mm-hmm. And we're going to exercise them to lose weight. The exercise we're going to do is a standard walk, walking pace of 2.5 miles per hour. So how long does it take for that person that's 150 pounds, how long do they have to walk in order to burn 1 pound of fat, which is 3,500 calories? And the answer is more than you think it is.
It's a lot more.
It's 16 hours of walking. Right. If you don't believe it, Google it. 150 pounds, 2.5 mile per hour walk. How long does it take to burn 3,500 calories?
16 hours.
It's 16 hours. The 200 pound person is going to burn it faster.
They're working harder. They're carrying more
weight. Because it's more energy
but
it's still 12 hours of walking. So you just need to understand how the concept really works.
Right.
It does work, but it doesn't work as fast or as easy as you think it should. Right. So that's why at Billings Last Diet, we focus on what you eat or what you don't eat.
On that diet portion. And let's talk a little bit about that, because when you think about this last myth we're going to talk about is willpower and dieting and weight loss, right? And most people think, well, if I have to go on a diet, I'm going to just deprive myself of everything I love, and I'm just going to have to stick it out, you know, white knuckle until I lose the weight that I want to lose, and then I can go back to what I was doing before.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that. Is dieting strictly about willpower, or is weight loss strictly about willpower?
No, it does have a factor. Yeah. And you have known people that have willpowered their way through weight loss.
What happens very
shortly
after.
But it doesn't last very long.
That's right.
Because there's only so long that you can live a deprived life. Mm-hmm. You can deprive yourself for a period of time, but eventually your willpower wears out. And so the myth is, well, they just don't have enough willpower in order to do it. Or if they just had a little more gumption, then they could do it.
Right. You're not trying hard
They're
enough.
They're not trying hard enough. Right. And so that's a little short-sighted. So is there something about your desire to lose weight and your willpower? Yes, but it's not everything.
Right.
Along with that willpower, you need a system that sets you up for success. And part of that system needs to be, it's not just a life of deprivation. That's why diet is a four-letter dirty word to a lot of people, is because they think it means deprivation and pain for a period of time.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be that way. There are diets that are that way, but it doesn't have to be that
way. One thing I really love about our protocol, Billings Last Diet, is there's a list of foods that you can eat that you didn't even know existed.
Yeah.
And we have information and resources to show you how to cook in ways that you didn't even know how to cook and love the food you're eating through the program. And that's the hard thing is when people think about a diet, they think, well, I just have to eat chicken and broccoli for 3 months and I'll lose the weight I want, which you'll lose weight.
Yep.
The problem is the second you're sick of chicken and broccoli, you go right back to what you were eating before.
Yeah, then the Oreos.
Then the Oreos, that's right.
They crack your
and so the point of weight loss for me is not to lose weight, but to gain health, a lifestyle of health. And so yes, the weight loss portion is crucial. That's going to help you reach your goals. That's going to get you to the point where you want to be. But in the process, there's an education that takes place so that you're not feeling deprived. Because like you said, if you feel deprived long enough, eventually you'll go back to what you were doing.
One of our diet coaches, when they're introducing themselves to our potential dieters, they'll say, what I've loved about Billings Last Diet is I've learned that I don't have to feed my emotions with food. I can fuel my body. And there's the lifestyle change Absolutely. That she has experienced is it doesn't have to be about deprivation. It's about being educated and understanding how your body works and how you can fuel your body so you can feel good all the time. Absolutely. And we just did a graduating class last night and a couple of the dieters said, I didn't know I could feel this good.
Yeah.
Even while losing weight. Now they've gone through the weight loss, the stabilization, and they're in their maintenance phase, and mm-hmm. they're saying, I never want to go back. That's what we're looking for is a lifestyle change that says, I know now how to eat to keep this off for the rest of your life so I don't have to deprive myself for the rest of my life or and, have willpower.
Right. So at Billings Last Diet, we focus a lot on education. That's why we're doing this podcast. That's why we want people to understand how weight loss works. Where can they go if they want more information right now before our next podcast?
So the best thing to do is go to the website, mm-hmm. BillingsLastDiet.com. You can get a lot of information there. But what we really want you to do is we want you to learn about how your body works. And so we offer these free educational seminars where you can come and learn how your body works, how you can lose weight, how you can keep it off for the rest of your life. So sign up for one of our free educational seminars, and you can do that at BillingsLastDiet.com, or you can call the office at 406-294-6751. We'd be glad to help you understand how it works.
And so we're based in Billings, but we do also talk about remote dieting. So we do have a recorded version of that as well. If you're not in town or if you're from further out, you can absolutely give us a call. We can set you up with a recorded version of that. And our social media, Facebook, Instagram, our YouTube channel, we're going to have more resources there as well. So like, follow, and share, and keep coming back. We're going to have lots more information for you.